My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Frankly, was the only way they could have gone out in which you actually felt okay about them not winning a title.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. It was, and that's why, was it a, I guess you could say it's a failure they didn't win it last year. But if they weren't going to win it, that's the way they couldn't win it and yet still maintain all their integrity, and you still feel like Kevin Durant and like Steph Curry can sleep the night after the finals. I mean, what more could he do? I mean,
at that point,
no regrets about
season. You left it all out there, exactly. Literally, and it took two major players to have season ending and essentially year long injuries.
Yeah.
To force them out.
And I'd said this, I used the phrase at the time, and I get it, it's a cliche, but they actually, to me, they were champions in defeat last year.
Big time.
And I would have never thought you'd be able to say that about
the way they
the Warriors.
The way they carried themselves, there's no question. I mean, it wasn't the Pistons losing to the Bulls and
exactly.
Not shaking their hand.
Exactly. Or Draymond going out in a flame.
Remember when Bynum had the flagrant foul and the Lakers run ended? Was it against Oklahoma City maybe after they had been in it for a while?
That's a great point.
You flame out in a real ugly kind of a way.
Yeah, and you always say, it matters how you go out. It matters what kind of fight you're going down with, kind of. And no, that was, look, the end of last year was brutal, but there was a silver lining there, I think. And it was that you at least didn't win the title, but you at least didn't have any regrets either. There's nobody that could say, what could I have done? What could I have done? Everybody really did do as much as they possibly could.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's J.D. and Steiny. We're out at Chase Center, the Warrior Shop at Thrive City. Mark Medina of USA Today will join us at 12:30. Still time for more of your phone calls. And you know what? Let's sneak in John here in San Jose. John is up next on Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, John?
Yeah, and I just wanted to make a comment on the topic at hand in terms of, for next season. What do you think is going to be more important in terms of success for the Warriors? Is it going to be coming from the coaching to be able to handle that, there aren't expectations, we're not going to be winning in those frustrating nights, like you talked about with Draymond, or is it going to come down to the players being able to handle that, in the same thing, in the same vein? So curious what you guys' thoughts are on that.
What's it for you?
It's a good question.
I think it's more players.
Yeah, but I was going to say players too, because this is where it's not that Steve Kerr isn't competitive and he doesn't want to win every game, but boy, that guy's been in the league a long time. He knows a great team from a good team. He knows a bad team from an elite, and I just think the coaching staff's come to terms with this team can't be held to the same expectations as teams in the past. They simply can't. And I think the coaches already have come to terms with that. I think it's going to take time, though. You're right, JD, during the course of a season, maybe for Curry to figure it out, maybe for Draymond to figure it out. So I would say it's definitely more on the coaches, or it's going to be easier for the coaches and the players.
Yeah, I just look at, I mean, there are going to be a lot of eyes on Steve Kerr this year too. Just in saying that,
right?
You know, because there is, it's kind of like with Curry, right? Where there are those out there that are waiting to see. Okay, all right, Steph, like you know. Are you, you know, high usage Steph? What's that going to look like?
Right.
Can that alone, in many ways, with Draymond and Russell, can that get you to 50 wins? Can that get you a surefire playoff spot? I think there's people going to be looking at Steve Kerr and thinking, all right, well, let's see how you do without four Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, he's not going to do as well.
You know, let's see. And I think, you know, there may even be a certain faction of Warriors fans that are, because this is always crazy to me, right?
Right.
But it's like you hear from time to time that, well, if Kerr just coached him a little harder, you know, they would have won all five. If he had, you know, hadn't been so big picture all the time, if he had brought Curry back sooner in some of those games, if he had played those guys 38 minutes instead of 35,
yeah,
it might have made a difference. He's going to be tested, I think, this year, which is just, it's good or bad, it's going to be something different.
Well, and here's why, I think Kerr is just elite on all levels, is, talking to him this week and yesterday, talking to him and Bob and... Steve Kerr
dropping.
You talk to these guys every day.
I'm just playing. I'm giving
so Kerr goes. He goes, yeah. You know, I can feel it. I'm already not as good as coach. I'm not as good a coach right now as I was last year. I can already tell. I'm just not. I'm losing it. I'm just not going to be as good. Just saying, it's easy to coach when you got stars, and not as easy when you don't.
Temperament is going to be a big thing.
Yeah,
I think across the board. We'll get into that coming up. We're also going to talk to Mark Medina. We have more time for phone calls, and a lot to get into. Some big picture, maybe league wide news as well as we roll on here. Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, there we are. JD and Steiny, 95.7 The Game. Mark Medina coming up in 10 minutes. Friend of the show.
Sure.
Now a national guy for USA Today.
Good
but
for him.
He's West Coast based. So here's what you're going to get out of your Mark Medina. You're going to get a lot of Warriors still.
Okay.
You're going to get a lot of Lakers still. You're going to get a lot of...
Clippers
as well, and just up and down the West
Coast. Kings too. Maybe, I gotta believe.
Well, maybe a little Kings.
Little Kings.
Some Portland. But you're gonna get a lot of the West. Probably not much Phoenix. I'll say that.
And rightfully so.
Probably not much Phoenix on the Medina slate. But yeah, he's gonna be based in Southern California now, but up here a lot. I saw him on Monday and Tuesday, and then he was down at Lakers practice, and then he's coming back because the Lakers are playing the Warriors. So we'll check in with him on all things NBA. In about 10 minutes here, as we are with you until 1 o'clock out at Chase Center, out at Thrive City.
Really pretty amazing complex they have out here. A lot of room. The court and the arena itself, not overwhelmingly big. It you walk into it and you're not overwhelmed by the size of it, and yet it's totally, obviously, modern. And there's room outside with a big screen for people who aren't on the inside of the building to watch the games. We're right now at the flagship store adjacent to the Chase Center. It's a two-level structure. It's huge. They've got Hooptopia, which is a kind of a basketball experience for kids. I'm not sure if that's going to be altogether ready tonight, but it will be ready by Monday and certainly for the regular season. So, I mean... Bottom line is there's a lot to do out here, not just watch a game. It's just people kind of milling around, walking around, and welcome to the new era with the Golden State Warriors.
Temperament was something that I wanted to ask you about, and I think we talked about it a little bit with Draymond Green and how's he going to handle you know, maybe not as much success or maybe some more errors, you know, by players as one of the leader on the floor kind of guys. What do you think of Steve Kerr's temperament? Because I thought it was interesting. He got a little frustrated this week with a question about injuries.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it was, they come out very early on, and I thought it was interesting. You know, Bob Myers came out, and the first thing Bob Myers said on Media Day with the press conference was, here's the update on Cauley Stein. We're going to reevaluate him the end of October. So that tells everybody he's out for October, so he's going to miss some regular season games. Klay Thompson, reevaluate, you know, him, and the next update on him is going to be the All-Star break. So you set that, you know, 3-4 months out now at this point. And then Steve Kerr came up for his press conference, and the first thing Steve Kerr said is, I'm not talking about any of the injuries. We already gave the updates. And I think it was the second practice. He got a little testy with one of the reporters when there was a question about, I think it was Looney or one of the guys that got injured at practice this week, Smiley Keach, right. Something like that. And it was just like, it was like enough with the, you know, how bad is it? When, you know, sure. We'll provide an update later. I've sure. said we're going to provide an update later. So it just, I wonder what the tone will be, because everything's been shucks and, right. and laughing and a lot of jokes and different. I wonder if we'll see a little different demeanor, not only that Steve Kerr takes with the team, but the way Steve Kerr, you know, is with the media.
I don't think so. I think, in fact, this is where I think Steve Kerr is going to be great for this team, and I mean that. Guys who have been around the NBA long enough, they know what kind of team they have. They really do. Now, that doesn't mean they concede a season or anything like that. But to me, Steve Kerr is one of his strengths is understanding the big picture and the small picture. The big picture, Steve Kerr knows this is not a championship team. At least the team they have right now. Let's just, because I don't want to get sidetracked with whether they are or not with Clay. Right now, they do not have a championship team.
Right.
Right. He knows that.
You might reevaluate that in March.
Exactly.
But we can't really say that until March.
So he's looking at this team. He's like, it's not a championship team. So I cannot expect this team to be a championship team. Now, the kind of team we have, I can control. If I can get the most out of the team we have, getting the most out of the team we have will not yield a championship, but it may yield 46 wins. It may yield 48 wins. So what I think he's got a great temperament for knowing what to sweat and what not to sweat. The Warriors play a good game and they get beat in Philly by 5 points, let's say. You know, that's not going to be the clipboard throwing time. The clipboard throwing time or breaking time is going to be when the young players, for whatever reason, think they can go out and handle the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road or at home. That's when he's going to get upset. Not when they're putting forth a good effort and losing games that they've won over the last 5 years. I think that's where he's really smart enough to know the difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the consistent effort and playing buttoned up against maybe some of the lesser teams,
right.
That's the path.
Yeah.
We had a caller that said that earlier. That's how you get into that
right.
mid to upper 40s, maybe touching 50, best case type pace until you get Klay Thompson back. But the only way to do that is to win a lot of those games against the other teams, and you're not going to win those games on sheer talent at the
right.
level that you were winning them the last few years, or winning them when you – yeah, how many times the Warriors the last 4 or 5 years – play well for about a quarter and a half, and that was enough.
Yeah.
Either a tie game turns into a blowout, or maybe
a lot of
down
home games.
10 and you win. I mean, how many times were they down 10 and they'd win by 20? I mean, it happened a
yeah.
lot.
It really
you know, maybe
did.
Maybe you didn't, not into it, but you could flip the switch.
And that's the other thing.
No more flipping the switch.
I mean, how many times, JD, in the last 3, 4, 5 years, we've been watching a game together, Warriors down 9, you know, they're down 7, and we're like, you know, they're not playing that well, but I don't think they're going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. And they would just outscore the opponent 32-16 in the fourth quarter, and they would win the game. But the problem is the runs aren't going to come a lot this year. You know, they're going to be down 9, and they're just never going to make a run.
Or you're going to get it to two, and you're not going to be able to get over the hump, which a lot of, you know, a lot of teams,
right. I think
that happens.
I think the question this year, it's going to go from when's the run coming, when's the run coming, to is the run going to come, is the run going to come? Because virtually it always came.
Well, and even though, but even last year it didn't come as often.
Not as often, no. No, and but it still came a fair amount, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be a big adjustment for everybody. Fans, players, coaches, media, and maybe even the league. It's going to be an adjustment for the league to come in and see this kind of Warrior team.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. J.D. and Steiny here on 95.7 The Game. Which of the three rookies do you think you can expect the most from in the early going? Between Poole, Pascal, and Smilagic, I guess you have to rule Smilagic out because he's got an ankle, and he's going to be out for a period of time now.
Well, I would think that if most people would say Pascal, I'm going to say Poole. And the reason I think people are going to say Pascal because he's got some experience. He's played a lot of college, and he's a real solid player. And I think he will be able to help him a little bit, maybe his rookie year. Poole's got something. I will say that Poole's got the ability
to
get
afraid.
No, exactly. He's not. He can get his own shot. Not afraid to make mistakes.
There's just a confidence to him.
Yes,
that I think.
So,
bodes well.
So I think what's going to happen this year is, you know what? He's going to go 2 for 10. He's going to have 2 for 10 nights, I think. He's going to have 3 for 12s. But he's also going to have some nights where, again, you're going to say, you know what? He helped us win a ball game tonight. And that's the first step.
He won't be afraid that the 2 for 10 night, the next night he might be 7 for 10.
Exactly.
Because he's not going to be afraid to keep taking the shots.
And good for him that he's on the Warriors this year, when they can afford him to go 2 for 10, as opposed to last year when they had a veteran team and, you know, it wouldn't have looked right. Jordan Poole trying to do too much on last year's team. Well, you know what? Now they can give him, they can spoon feed him a little bit more than they would have, had he come into a team with Iguodala, Livingston, and the rest of the group.
Well, that's where they really benefit from, you know, it can be a player development kind of a year. In a lot of ways,
right?
And I know the perfect scenario. And correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I'm off base. The perfect scenario for the Warriors is Curry and Draymond are healthy. D'Angelo fits. You're on a 45-50 win pace around the All-Star break. The young players are contributing and looking like they're developing into role players. And then you're going to get Klay Thompson back. And then, you know, maybe at that point you can up it a little bit in terms of, you know, where you're at. And you know what, you're going to be a playoff team, but you're, you know, whatever, 5th seed, 6th seed, 7th seed, whatever, 5, 6, 7, somewhere
sure.
in there. I think that's a perfect scenario, right? I mean, that's the perfect world. Like, I don't
right.
think perfect world is they're going to be the 1 seed.
No.
I don't even think, like, what's the ceiling in your mind? What's the ceiling?
Regular season or postseason?
Regular season.
50 wins. That's the top. That's the top number I could see. Bottom number would be 35, something like that. If somebody gets nicked up, it has to miss a couple months, maybe. Hey, look, I mean, let's face it. You know, the Golden State Warriors, what was it, 2 years ago, lost Steph Curry for 31 games. They still won, what, 60? What did they win before?
No,
the
58.
Okay, 58.
58 and 57, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So Curry missed 31 games, and they still won 58. Anything, God forbid.
You miss 31 games, you might not win 40.
I don't think you make the playoffs. I mean, and that might not even be a stretch. So, you know, you got to just have that in the back of your mind. You know, with health, I think they could be a, you know, 50, boy, more than 50, I need to see how that would, you know, I need to see that happen. I mean, to me, more than 50 means you stay healthy and other teams suffer injuries.
All right, let's get to our next guest, a friend of this program and friend of the station, 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Medina, now of USA Today. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us. How are you?
JD, always good to talk with you and Matt about hoops. Not to throw some red meat, but I heard, you know, you guys projecting where
the Warriors could go. How about this? They could sneak in as a sixth seed and then upset the Houston Rockets as a third seed. They wouldn't get any farther than that, but I think that would constitute a successful season, right?
I think that would be a successful season, although I'll say this, and maybe we'll just use this as the jumping-off point. I find it harder to believe that the Rockets would be a three seed.
Fair. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, even if the Westbrook-Harden pairing doesn't work, you still have Harden's productivity, and it'll be behind both L.A. teams. Regardless, I'm sure the Warriors would love eliminating Houston for three consecutive seasons.
Well, I know we'll talk about the Warriors, but as long as we're on it, you know, I'm actually allowing for the possibility that it could work in Houston. And the reason I'm saying that is because if these two guys don't understand kind of what they have to do now at this point in their careers to maximize the team, then I don't think, you know, I mean, if it's not now, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, they have learning experience, you know, both on the negative part with Harden kind of wearing down, and he and CP3 didn't necessarily have the best fitting. And then, you know, with Russell Westbrook, to what degree did that drive Kevin Durant to the Warriors, and to what degree did that drive Paul George to want to go to the Clippers? So I could see them kind of buying in initially, but where I'm skeptical, Matt, still is I could see them maybe game by game being able to defer and have the less is more approach, but at that point where they feel like it's a critical juncture in the season or in a 20 game sample size, how more often than not would they feel more comfortable with the ball than without the ball? And you know, I'm still skeptical. I'd like to still kind of wait and see with that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm skeptical. I'm just allowing for the possibility that it could work. Mark, what's your sense of kind of how do I want to put this? All right, so you've been, you know, at training camp for a week. Has anything changed about kind of the way you thought about the Warriors? And I mean this 2 days before training camp started. Do you feel the same way now, like a week later, or has some things that you've seen in the last week maybe just kind of impacted your outlook on this team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a different feeling being at Chase Center and trying to navigate my way around the arena. Look, we knew the storylines going into the season, and nothing's changed in that respect. But I think the main takeaway I had was mostly my conversation with Draymond Green. Like, I was wondering to what extent are they going to toe the line of trying to maximize his workload versus, you know, not wanting to kill him for this season and long term. And the way Draymond tells it to me, he's saying he's already in the playoff diet. He was training extensively because his health was a lot better this past off season than last summer. And this whole idea that they were going to proactively sit him out or play limited minutes was complete hogwash. So I'm very intrigued on how they navigate that and with Steph. Like, I don't think they're going into the year thinking, hey, we got to be really careful with their minutes. But at some point when it's crunch time and they're hovering around the mid-30 minute range, like, where does Steve Kerr draw the line of wanting to win that game or think long term? That's going to be a very compelling storyline, you know, once the regular season starts. I don't think you'll really see any clarity for preseason because they're not going to play any more than 20 minutes a game.
Mark, how do you think D'Angelo Russell's going to fit in this whole thing? And I know we'll get a better maybe feel for it tonight, but it's been very much put in front of all of us at practice, the two of them working together, right? They're shooting at the same basket, they're working together, and in many ways Russell's doing the same drills that Curry's doing. It's been very visible this first week to everybody that's been out there. How do you think that'll work, and what can D'Angelo Russell maybe take from Stephen Curry and working with him so closely?
Well, I think offensively it's going to work wonders. They're really good shooters. They're great playmakers, passers. And I think as much as Steph Curry rightfully would feel the thought of, okay, it's about how D'Angelo Russell adjusts around me because I'm Steph Curry and the best shooter of all time, I think it's going to be in Steph's nature to try to make D'Angelo feel comfortable. But the way that Steve Kerr talked about it, it looked like that they were going to be pairing them a lot, obviously, to start the game, but a lot of staggered minutes as well. So I think offensively that's going to work fine with all the different combinations, whether it's D'Angelo playing off the ball, on the ball, with each other, without each other. But the question is how does that match up defensively, right, without Klay Thompson in the backcourt, you know, defending one of the perimeter's top scorers, and without all the defensive help that they've had in the front court with Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala. And if you're kind of doing a math equation of what's going to be the net positive of points scored versus points allowed in the backcourt, it might be negative, right? So that's the thing that I have a lot of concern about, is how do they go about adjusting defensively? And it's going to be that whole cliche of five guys on a string, but when you're losing so many guys on that string from last season, it's going to be tough.
Mark, who do you think is going to start at three, or at least get the bulk of the minutes there this season?
Yeah. The larger picture, it's all up in the air, and it's not going to be a net gain because no one can replace Kevin Durant. But if I had a guess, I think they would go with Alec Burks just because he's a veteran. But I think that's going to be a merry-go-round throughout the season for matchup purposes and the fact that there's no ideal options. And I think as much as they might be evaluating, well, who wins this quote-unquote positional battle at the three between Alec Burks and Alphonso McKinney and Glenn Robinson III, my sense is Steve Kerr is also going to calculate what are the best kind of four-man units around those specific players. So obviously, you know, Steph and Draymond are going to start. There's no question there. And I think Kevon Looney is going to start with Willie Cauley-Stein missing training camp. But philosophically, I think that Steve is not just going to judge what he's getting best at the wing position, but more who are the players around those guys that can shield their weaknesses the best.
Mark Medina joining us, and we are at the Chase Center in downtown San Francisco. USA Today, is that correct?
Yes, sir. New gig, new job, but I'll be there tonight for the Lakers-Warriors debut at Chase Center. Should be fun.
All right, so you're essentially covering the Western, the West for USA Today. Why don't you explain what you're doing instead of me?
Yeah, so they asked if I wanted to move back to L.A. Just to be clear to everyone listening here in the Bay, I love the Bay Area. I loved Oakland, so it wasn't a matter of me wanting to leave, but I think USA Today wanted someone based in L.A. because there's two legitimate teams there in the backyard with the Lakers and the Clippers. But I'm going to be covering a lot of them. I'll make a lot of trips up to the Bay, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of coverage around the Western Conference. But, you know, a lot of it really, frankly, depends on just how this season plays out. And I think from my standpoint, it's a great opportunity, but also the storylines with the NBA, it just feels like wide open, particularly in the Western Conference. So there's no doubt I'll be in L.A. a lot, I'll be in the Bay a lot, but everything else is kind of a crapshoot because of how the nature of the Wild Wild West is this year, where it seems like it's up for grabs anywhere.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Let me ask you to pick a player on the Warriors who you think might take the biggest jump among their younger-type players, including their rookies.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think Kevon Looney has already made that jump, and I think there's going to be a jump to be made because he's going to have increased minutes. But as far as everyone else, I think if I had to handicap it, it would be Jordan Poole, just because he's going to have opportunities to take shots. And no doubt that there was a lot of questions about, you know, his shooting form and his consistency in summer league. But I think that, you know, because he's going to have opportunities to kind of play out of those slumps, he'll start becoming more and more confident. And he's a guy, based off of just talking to the coaches that he's had in high school and in college, that when he gets going, he gets going. So that's not going to say it's going to be an easy transition, as it is for any rookie. But I think because of the dynamic where there is going to be such a need for playing time and opportunities with Klay being out, I think that he'll have a chance to be on the winning end of most of it, more of his shots going in, and being able to fight through some of those inevitable slumps he'll get.
Mark, I want to ask you about the Lakers, because obviously we're all going to get a look at them tonight. Where are they at in terms of, you know, just kind of figuring out what their identity needs to be? I mean, they got a lot of new faces around and a new coaching staff and the like. So where are they in terms of their plan, let's say, to be a competitive team at the top of the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, the only definitives are LeBron James and Anthony Davis look really great. And, you know, there's a question mark. Kyle Kuzma's not going to be playing tonight. He's not going to be playing until after their China trip. So the best case scenario is he comes back, you know, in a week and a half. And I think that there was hope that, you know, on one hand, that they don't think his injury is serious, but, you know, they were trying to groom him to be the quote-unquote third guy. Like, he even said at Media Day that his goal this season is to be an all-star. And as far as everything else in the starting lineup, it's really up for grabs. JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard are fighting for that starting center spot. And the other thing that Frank Vogel, the Lakers coach, is measuring is how and to what extent will LeBron James be the ball handler. Like, it, you know, Chris Haynes from Yahoo had mentioned earlier this summer that he's planned to do that, and that's not a surprise. That's what LeBron James has been doing all along. But does that mean that LeBron will be starting as the point guard, or will Rajon Rondo start, or Alex Caruso, or Avery Bradley? And where Frank Vogel kind of falls in here is LeBron, no doubt, is going to be a primary ball handler, but it's going to be a mix of, you know, he and Anthony Davis running a two-man game, Rondo running a two-man game with Davis because they played for one season in New Orleans and because of the experience that Rondo has as a point guard in general. And then also, you know, maybe leaning on some of their wing players like Avery Bradley or Danny Green to share some of the ball handling duties. So a lot of interesting things there, but the main thrust beyond, hey, it's about LeBron and AD that Frank Vogel's trying to, you know, lay a foundation on is they want them to be a defensive-oriented team, basically, with how they were when he coached the Indiana Pacers, where throughout his coaching time there, all six seasons, they're always in the top 10 defensively.
Mark, I don't know if you're going to have to do this for USA Today, but basically, where do you have the Warriors finishing in the regular season?
Yeah. I think, I mean, this is assuming Steph and Draymond don't have major injuries, and I think because they're in the prime of their career and they're entering the season healthy and they're going to be managed, you know, I think smartly, where they're not going to sit them down just for the sake of it, but they'll be smart with resting them when need be. I think that they're not going to be significantly hurt. So with that caveat, I see them 52 wins and good enough for a sixth seed. I'm going to lean on that upsetting Houston in the third as a third seed, just because it sounds nice. And I think it could happen, right? But I could also see it dovetailing pretty badly if one of those two guys get hurt, because, frankly, they just don't have the infrastructure to absorb those kind of injuries like they did in the past, because in the past they still had Clay and Kevin on the floor to make do.
Mark, we'll see you tonight. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. First time at Chase Center. I'm curious how the sound's going to be. What do you think?
I think it's going to be great. Matt, go ahead. I'll let you jump in.
I just know that I've spoken to a bunch of people who've gone to concerts so far, and they say the sound is absolutely incredible. So I don't know if that'll translate to just crowd and not music, but they said the sound's really, really good.
Well, it helps that Lakers and Warriors are going to play each other four times. I'm sure that'll get a fans initially excited and then eventually annoyed with this matchup.
Yeah, that's true. Build a rivalry in the preseason. Build it up more, actually. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Where are you on the Warriors-Lakers rivalry as it stands? I mean, the Lakers forever, they were the it team, I mean, decades. The Warriors are down for a long time. But right about the time the Warriors moved up, the Lakers have been down. So, I mean, this is the first year in some ways that they're both kind of viewed as playoff teams and competing, although the Warriors aren't what they've been the last
few
years.
Yeah, but I think it's going to heat up in a big way. I really do, because I think it's going to – if let's say the Lakers are better than the Warriors this year, Laker fans are going to pretend or act like the last 5 years haven't even existed, and Warrior fans are going to be saying, the gall of you guys to think that you're actually better than the team we had when we were kids. I could see it getting back to being a rivalry and or really, really becoming a rivalry, because I don't think it has been. But the reason this could become a rivalry is because, you know what? Maybe these are two 50-win teams just as is right now. Who knows? So if they're two 50-win teams, then we got a rivalry.
You want to do a little better or worse?
Of course.
Let's do a little better or worse in the Western Conference here as we roll through. It's JD and Steiny on 95.7 The Game as we got the Warriors and the Lakers preseason game number one that's coming up tonight here from Chase Center. Everybody excited about that. All right. Let's just go based on how the standings finished last year.
Okay.
Okay? That's an easy way to do it. Western Conference, better or worse? The Warriors.
They're worse.
Okay. How much worse?
They're 10 games worse.
That's mean.
They're 10 games worse.
Okay. So you got them at 47 wins.
Yeah.
All right. 47-35, 10
Something
games.
Something like that, yeah.
10 games worse. The Denver Nuggets.
They're better.
The Denver Nuggets.
And even though they didn't add a ton of personnel, they're better because everybody else, in terms of the top six or so teams, is adjusting to something. And they can come back and kind of pick up where they left off. I think Denver's going to be the number one seed in the West.
Wow. And they flirted with it last year,
mm-hmm.
right up until the end.
Yep.
And then the Warriors wound up passing them. A couple of head-to-head games kind of flipped that in the Warriors' favor. The team that the Nuggets lost to in the second round at home as the two seed in a game seven, the Portland Trail Blazers are the Blazers who finished last year with 53 wins and 29 losses. Are the Blazers better or worse?
Jeez. They're better or worse than the Warriors or better or worse than
better or worse than they were last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
we're going to do it that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do we need
to change some answers?
No.
Not better or worse than the Warriors.
Okay.
Just, are they better or worse than they were last year?
Boy, that's a good one. Man, I'm going to say worse, believe it or not.
Okay.
I'm going to say worse.
All right. Warriors at 57, I'm going to say worse.
Okay.
Denver, 54-28, the two seed.
I see what you're saying there. Yeah,
I'm actually going to say worse.
I'm going to say Denver's going to win 55 or more.
Okay.
So I'll stay with Ben.
I'm going to say Denver's worse.
Okay.
I think Portland's better.
I think
they're better. I think continuity, and I know they have some different pieces, but the continuity of the two guards and the head coach and Terry Stotts, and the belief that they have better pieces among the pieces that aren't the same.
I'm going to say they're worse, but it's pretty marginal. You know what I mean? 53 last year, I think they'll be between 50 and 55.
The Houston Rockets at 53, they're worse to me. They're worse.
Yeah, they're worse until they show they're not worse, which I think it's going to be hard for them to do. What did they win last year?
They won 53 last year, and they were, 11-15 or 11-13 at one point?
I actually think that they'll be worse, but their record will be 50 to 55 wins. I think they'll hit 50 wins, though, the Rockets.
Oh, okay.
I do.
But so low, like, okay.
Yeah, 50.
All right, 50-ish, so worse, but not.
Remember, the Rockets got off to a terrible
That's
start
what I said. Yeah, it was 11-13.
Is that what they were?
11-13, I believe, at one point. And maybe four or five games out.
Boy, I'm gonna have to say worse, even though I kind of want to nudge better because of that bad start. But go ahead.
The Utah Jazz, 50-32. I think they're better.
I think they're better too. I think they're better. I'm just gonna leave it at that. They're better.
I mean, better with Mike Conley,
no
even
doubt.
If Mike Conley can't play every game, which he hasn't been able to the last few years.
Right.
I think they're better. Oklahoma City, this is an easy one. They won 49 games. They've got to be worse.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. How much worse is what we're going to have to find
out?
Yeah,
I could actually still see them being in the 30s, the low to mid-30s maybe.
But I got to believe that's a team ripe to make more changes.
Yeah, and figure out where Chris Paul's going to go at some point.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're worse. San Antonio, 48-34.
Nah.
Better or worse?
They're worse. They're worse.
I think they're about the same. I think they're going to. Yeah, I don't think they're very good.
I don't either.
But I think they're going to end up making the playoffs, and I think they're about. I think they're about the same. I think they're. Yeah, I'm going to say.
I mean, their coaching is just falling off. They're in trouble. Their coaching staff is caring less and less year by year.
Clippers, better or worse? Better.
Clippers are better.
Clippers are better. They won 48 games. They got in as the 8th seed. Last year, but here's where it broke off. They got in as the 8 seed last year. They were 9 games better than the 9 seed. I know there was this thought that, you know, the Sacramento's right there.
Yeah, They were nine games off
of a playoff spot. So they were the nine seed, but there was a big time.
Wow. You're right. I didn't realize there was that big of
a gap.
A disparity.
Yeah.
Did not realize that.
Sacramento was the nine seed, so that's the next team. Sacramento, better or worse, 39-43. I'm going to say worse.
I think they're worse, too.
And it's just the record, I think, is going to be worse. To me, it's just
hard to say.
They might be a better team, but I don't think that their starting point for evaluation purposes is 39. I think they were more like a 34-win team.
I do too.
I think they're better than a 34-win team, but they're not a 39-win team because that their starting point isn't as great as people think. The Lakers were 10. The Lakers have got to be better than 37-45.
No,
they were a team that was at Oracle on Christmas, and it looked like they might make a run at being a top seed. LeBron went out, and it completely fell apart to the tune of now they got Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd and Anthony Davis, and they're completely different.
No doubt. They're better.
Better or worse, Minnesota, 36-46.
They're the same.
Who cares? Memphis, I think, is worse.
What was Memphis's record?
They won 33, and I don't think they're going to win 33 this year. I think they're worse.
Who's left them since last year?
Conley.
But he was hurt last year.
Yeah. How about Iguodala not wanting to go, not wanting to show up? I think of that.
I tell you what. You know what I love about the NBA right now? You know who has juice and who doesn't. You know what I'm saying? And Iguodala still's got juice.
I mean, man.
And you compare him, JD, to a guy like Carmelo Anthony, you know, who lost his juice a couple years ago. I mean, it's incredible. Carmelo Anthony is one of the best players in this league, and he reached a point where he just couldn't, like he lost all control of his future. Kind of. And Iguodala, his age is dictating, I ain't coming to Memphis. And they're like, yeah, okay, don't come.
I mean, he got that third year, that 16,
yes,
you know,
he did.
From the Warriors. And part of that was, well, you may get shipped off somewhere. He does. And then he's like, I'm not going there.
Exactly.
I'm not going there. I'm not. Memphis. You know what? You could trade me somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on Memphis, guys.
I'm going to say the Pelicans.
I got to believe they're better.
Pelicans are better, I think. I think Dallas is better. You may not. They only won 33, but they were the second worst team in the West.
I think they're about the same.
How about that gap between Dallas at 33 as the second worst, and then the worst team was Phoenix at 19?
Yeah, Phoenix. I'm going to say Phoenix.
They got to be a little better, but they're still going to be.
Do they?
What?
Why do they have to be better?
Because they only won 19.
Mm-hmm. You never know. I'll say better. They're about a game better.
Yeah, they're better, but they might win 21 instead of 19 or 23 instead of 19. And then it becomes, who are they going to be?
You know who they are. They're the 1995 to 2005 Warriors. That's who Phoenix is. They just can't get out of the bottom. They can't.
That's brutal. And I want to do just quickly in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, Philly, and Boston, better or worse? Is Philly better?
Yes, Philly's better with Al Horford.
Okay.
I think they are.
Milwaukee can't possibly be 60, right?
They're worse.
But still good. And the Celtics?
They're worse.
Celtics are worse.
Philly's better is Indiana. Watch the Pacers.
Okay.
It's my team.
I think the Celtics.
Well, it's not my team.
Celtics are better.
Hawks are my team.
Celtics are better. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to everybody out here at Chase Center, at the Warriors Shop, for Mark Medina and Connor Letourneau, and for Joe, and for Bobby and Tim Jordan. Whitey and Herbs coming up next, right here, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.